brethren's real talk live, always expressing the real. Ain't no sugarcoating, that's not how he is. Only discussing topics that can help change your life or educate your mind to all new heights. And straight and light on entrepreneurs that's on the ride. This is brethren's real talk live, giving back is how we ride. For the people, for the community, for the society, for the voices, for the unknown issues that be going down. Braylon's, Braylon's, real talk live. When you hear this music, you know some real topics dropping down. Braylon's, Braylon's, real talk live. Time to tune in and unwind, yeah.
What's up with it? DFW Metroplex, surrounding cities, all the states of the United States and all the countries across the world. That's right, Brethren's Real Talk Live, back again with another one. We got another dose of hot topics for you tonight, and as well as another entrepreneur spotlight guest, which you will hear from shortly, but let's get into these announcements. If you would like to be on the show as an entrepreneur spotlight guest, guest speaker, music guest, or even if you have topics you want us to discuss, simply email the show at brealtalklive@yahoo.com. You can also DM the show on social media, Facebook, that's at @realtalklivedtx, and on Instagram, that's at @brealtalklive. Looking forward to hearing from you. As you know, Real Talk Radio has been discontinued. It didn't pan out so well, but it has been replaced with the realest song of the week. So artists out there, independent artists, you can still submit your songs to the email, brealtalklive, and we will go through, pick a song that we want to play for that particular episode, and we'll continue doing so until all submissions are played. All submissions will be used, you know, each episode. So, you know, submit your songs to the email, brealtalklive@yahoo.com. Your music will be played across 9 total platforms, especially overseas. And it's a way to double your royalties, especially if your music is already out on streaming platforms. So to take advantage of that, just simply email your songs. Calling all businesses out there, you can take advantage of our radio spot commercial service where we do 1 minute, 3 minute, or 5 minute increment radio spots. Prices vary depending on the length and how long in rotation you want the ad to be. So just make sure to email brealtalklive@yahoo.com. Or hit up the show on Facebook at Real Talk Live DTX, Instagram, @BeRealTalkLive for those services. Nonprofits that Brethren's Real Talk Live supports, one of them is the South Oak Cliff High School Band Booster Club that supports the new Soul of the South Marching Band. Summer is approaching, which means band season will be following right behind it pretty soon, as well as the new school year going down in August. If you would like to support this organization, you can do so via Cash App, which is $SOCBand. You can also follow them on Instagram, SOC New Soul of the South. That's new as in the letters N and U. Or on Facebook at New Soul of the South. Another nonprofit you can help support is my personal one, Braylon Blair Entities. You can donate via PayPal by using the email BraylonBENT@yahoo.com, Cash App, $BraylonBlairENT, or you can hit the support this podcast button and three monthly options will come up and those proceeds will go towards Braylon Blair Entities as well. You can also follow Braylon Blair Entities on Instagram at BraylonBENT. On Facebook, that'll be BraylonBlairENT. Braylon Blair Entities is a nonprofit organization that takes care of the ignored and unanswered problems throughout the community, as well as providing a permanent plan to end homelessness called Project Helping Hand. You can put in the description if you want to donate directly to Project Helping Hand. With that, the business proposal is pretty much near completion. Right now, we are finding land to pick out to potentially purchase and put the facility. We have one in particular that we want, but we will pick out other options just in case for backup reasons. Fundraisers and events will be happening soon. We'll keep you updated on that. So just follow Braylon Blair Entities on Instagram and Facebook to keep up with that. There will be a post going out later, or if it hasn't already gone out, it will be detailing of the location that I just mentioned. So make sure to do that. We will be doing fundraisers and events soon. So get ready. We're trying to make a real difference in the community and get things rolling. So all your support is appreciated. Some events you can take part in this month are previous entrepreneur spotlight guest, Strawberry, and her business, Fragrance Galore and More, is holding a raffle where you have a chance to win a free bottle of Creed Aventus or Bond number 9. The raffle ticket is $5. Make sure to send the $5 to the Cash App, $Fragrance Fairy. You can enter more than once, and the raffle ends on the 11th. So make sure to enter before the 11th as many times as you want. Raffle tickets are $5. The Cash App, once again, is $Fragrance Fairy. Make sure to support her and her business. All band students out there, make sure to take advantage of the Revive the Culture Summer Band Camp. Starting June 7th will be the leadership portion of the camp. You can register on the Revive the Culture's Instagram, which is at revive.theculture. The link is in their bio where you can register, and the Cash App to send any registration fees to is $Ascension Arts Project. That's $ASCENSION Arts Project. Once again, the leadership part of the camp starts tomorrow from June 7th to the 11th. Also, all students that take part in your camp, you will be participating in the Juneteenth parade that takes place in Austin, Texas. So make sure to register so you can be a part of that as well. Also, they'll be doing a summer band intensive camp, which will be July 5th through the 9th. And then they will be doing a summer showcase that will take place July 10th. And speaking of June 10th, another event that will be taking place in the community is the second annual Juneteenth community bike ride sponsored by the Pan-African Connection and Tenae Talks podcast. The meet time is 6 p.m. and the ride begins at 7 p.m. The location is at the Pan-African Connection store that's located in the Glendale Shopping Center at the address 4466 South Marcellus Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75216. It will be June 18th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Anybody that has a bike is welcome, so make sure to come out and support and participate. Brandsville Talk Live is also a proud supporter of other podcasts out there in the network. One of the podcasts you can follow is called Them Damn Millennials, which you can follow them on YouTube at TDM Productions, on Instagram at Them Damn Millennials, and on Facebook, you can follow one of the main hosts on Facebook at Bear Jackson, B-E-A-R Jackson. You can also purchase their merchandise on the website, bearology.store. They have shirts, hoodies, and all different types of good merchandise to support the show, as well as their fight towards certain causes such as diabetes and cancer. Another podcast you can follow is the Off the Liquor podcast by music artist King Emery. You can follow this podcast on YouTube at Emery Anderson III, on Facebook, Emery Anderson III, and on Instagram, Emery Anderson III. Lastly, another podcast you can follow is the Truth Be Told Flex podcast, which you can follow them on YouTube at Truth Be Told Flex podcast, where they break down the truth about pretty much everything that goes on in the world, similar to how I do it here. But they go more in detail explaining Hebrew and Israelite information, you know, the real Hebrew light and Israelite information, because there is a lot of imitators out there. But if you want to get your real Hebrew Israelite fix, make sure to check out the Truth Be Told Flex podcast. You won't be disappointed. Moving on to my other entities, as you know, my music production company and music label, Legendary Productions. If you would like to take advantage of any audio engineering needs, such as recording, mixing, and mastering, ADR work, or any film directors out there or music video people out there that need sound, make sure to hit up Legendary Productions. You can do so with the email legendaryproductions@yahoo.com. You can also follow Legendary Productions on Facebook at @legendaryDTX and on Instagram, @legendary_productions. Just like I said, it is also a music label of the artist, myself, B Sizzle the Realist, and artist, Miss Pride. B Sizzle the Realist did take a minor break. He was working on his Realist Love album, which will still be set to be released. It will be released sometime this month. We would not have a date as of right now, but if a date is finalized, pre-order information will be given out across B Sizzle the Realist and Legendary Productions social media. You can follow B Sizzle the Realist on Facebook at @BSizzleDTX and as well on Instagram at @BSizzleDTX. Once his album is completed and released, he will be holding a virtual concert. So be on the lookout for that. We'll have more information as those things are panned out. You can also follow Legendary Productions, other artists, as well as co-host Miss Pride. You can do so on Instagram at @MissPride1 or on Facebook at Randy Richardson. And that's Randy as in R-A-N-D-I. Also, as you all know, Legendary Productions is the official music production company for the independent label, Thug Angel Entertainment. They will be cooking things back up soon. They will have a lot of new releases and visuals on the way for the summer. So get ready for that. You can follow Thug Angel on Facebook at TAE Music Label or on Instagram at Thug Angel ENT. Lastly, you can follow me directly on Snapchat at @BraylonBDTX. Snapchat is where I post pretty much everything that I'm involved in, whether it is Braylon's Real Talk Live, you know, the podcast, my music production and music label company, Legendary Productions, as well as the music label, Thug Angel Entertainment. Me as the artist, Beast of the Realist, that information will be on there as well as my nonprofit organization, Braylon Blood Entities. So if you want to catch everything that I'm a part of all in one place, make sure to follow me on Snapchat at @BraylonBDTX. Now, moving on to local sports and news. The Dallas Cowboys, as you know, they're gearing up for a brand new season. They did well in the draft, getting a lot of good prospects, hoping to bring the defense up to a competitive level. The rookies have been doing pretty much good in the OTAs, which are taking place in right now at the Star in Frisco. But training camp will be starting on July 27th. But the Cowboys, since they will be participating in the Hall of Fame game August 5th, them and the Steelers, they are able to start training camp as early as July 21st if they like. But the official start date is July 27th, and you know they'll be starting up there in Oxnard, California, as they do every year. We're looking forward to a full successful season. So go Cowboys. As far as the Rangers, they just finished wrapping up a 3-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays, where they fell short today, 7-1, but they was able to get one of the wins out of the 3-game series. Now they will be opening up a 2-game series against the Giants. That will be Tuesday, June 8th at 7:05 p.m. And the second game of that series will be Wednesday, June 9th at 1:05 p.m. Well, the Dallas Mavericks season playoffs came to an end today with a loss to the Clippers in Game 7, 126-111. They fought hard the entire series. We commend them for their efforts. And we have to look forward to a bit bigger and better, brighter next season. In other sports news, tennis, the French Open is going on. Serena Williams, unfortunately, came up short today in her fourth-round matchup against Elena Rybakina, representing Kazakhstan. Other Americans that are still alive are Coco Gauff and Sloane Stephens. that their matches will take place tomorrow at 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. Central Time. Let's hope they can pull it out for the USA. The next major they will be playing will be the Wimbledon, which will be taking place at the end of this month, starting on June 29th. Now, we move on to our Entrepreneur Spotlight guest interview of the evening, featuring Miss Rocky J from Florida. All right, tonight's Entrepreneur Spotlight guest, I'm here with Miss Rocky J from Florida. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. So, what inspired you to become the barber and cosmetic specialist you are today?
Well, that's a very deep question for me because with me, it started in school. I was the one finishing tests early to do my teacher hair and French braids. I was the one friends would come to. So growing up, I'm always the vain one. So
okay.
Beauty's just always been, you know, my background. Also, my dad, he's a barber. So he's been a barber since before I was born. So growing up in the shop, seeing him, me being vain in the mirror, students, teachers gravitating towards me, it was always my little hustler's ambition. So I was like, I'm going to make this into a career, just doing something that I've always done and something that I loved, something my father does. So that's where my inspiration comes from.
That's what's up, you know. That's a good way to like stick to your roots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what are you looking to accomplish overall with your career?
There's so many things that you know, I want to accomplish. So in every day, what I want, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as far as my dreams, as far as what I want to do with my licensing, because I'm licensed in barbering and I'm licensed as a full specialist. So okay. I can have a full service salon, you know, catering to women and men as far as estheticians and barbering.
Right.
So I would like to say that I just want you and everyone else to stay tuned. You know, I stand behind the quote of, you know, moving silence
right.
and manifesting things rather than just speaking into existence. But I will give you a hint and say maybe a school is involved.
Okay, that'll work. Education is always needed.
Mm-hmm.
So will you be looking to expand your services in the near future?
Yes, and that goes into the last question that you
yeah.
had just asked me.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, because I am a master barber and full specialist, and I'm also an instructor in the industry. A lot of people might think that barbering or cosmetology or aesthetics is it's just, you know, working behind the chair. It's also getting those prepared or getting those licensed to be in the industry. And my passion, most of my passion steers on the education part of it and getting those ready to let them know what's going to be expected from them in the field. The field is always growing.
True.
So I would want to expand my services to more so to Georgia.
Okay.
And some also in Texas too. And here in Florida as well. I got Florida on lock with the education.
Alrighty, that's what's up. So, with being a woman, how did you deal with the criticism and hardship, if any, when becoming a barber?
Oh my God! So this is a funny thing. So when I got my barber's license in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay.
So I moved to St. Pete for a year. So moving back to Miami, Florida, I went into the flea market. It's my first barbering job ever. So. To those who know what the flea market, you know, then you know. So my first job was there in the flea market, and it was predominantly all men. There were no women on the barber floor, not any. So
yeah.
For me, getting there is more, I'm not going to say that I experienced hate or somebody, like I wasn't wanted.
Okay.
I was wanted. I think I was wanted more because it's like, oh, it's a it's a fine girl that's cutting hair. So so men would come to me like, oh yeah, I want your hands on me. Like, you know, so it wasn't offensive to me, but I wanted to be looked at like, yeah, her skills are dope, not as, oh, she fine.
Right.
That wasn't really like criticism, but you know, I'm gonna take the money either where it go. I'm a hustler. So it was like, yeah, you're gonna sit in my chair because I'm fine, but you're gonna stay because I know what I'm doing. I'm on point. So exactly. I just use that to my advantage. And anywhere that I go, I learn to just be at one with what it is. It is what it is, and that's the reality of it. I am an attractive female. So if that's gonna get you in my chair, that's fine. But because I know what I'm doing, and after you get to talk to me, you be like, yeah, she is fine, but she's humble, she's down to earth, and her skills are on point. So that's what keeps them coming with me. So, yeah,
that's what's up. You know, you gotta make it work best way possible.
Yep, that's true. Use what you have.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are there any other talents, hobbies, or skills that you may consider transferring into a business?
Actually, I am. Your girl's real talented. I am talented in, I do poetry, I write music. Okay. I actually am a recording artist here in Miami, Florida. So, yeah, so I do that as well. And, that's what I have going on for me right now. As far as incorporating that with my barbering, I don't think I'm going to collab those two together because they're separate entities to me. But what I am going to collab onto my barbering is selling products. I also love like skin products. That goes with my full specialist license. Full specialist is like I'm specializing in skin. So right. I love like glowing skin, clean skin, and all of that. So I'm going to have a product line coming for men and women, starting off with men. And that's going to go under my barbering license and skincare.
Awesome. Can't wait to that. I guess we're going to have you on the show again when that drops.
Yep, definitely.
All right. Lastly, how can consumers contact you for your services?
Well, right now I am fully booked as far as having clients come to me to schedule an appointment. I do have a deposit that's required, but as far as contacting me, all of my contact info, any contact option you would like to click is on my social media, which is at Rocky J. That is spelled RACQUIEJ, but it's pronounced Rocky J, and that's on my Instagram. So.
All right. Y'all heard it here first. Make sure to hit her up on Instagram so she can get you right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to be on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. No problem. Until next time. Now it's time for Topic Drop. I'm here riding solo tonight. My co-host, Ms. Pryor, will return for the next episode. That will be June 20th. First topic I want to talk about tonight is, what is the number one cause of divorce? You know, it's been a lot of speculation over the years of what are the main reasons or what are reasons that cause divorce and things of that nature. And I'm here to break that down this evening. According to a study, financial disagreements were the strongest disagreement types to predict divorce for both men and women in a poll conducted by the Divorce magazine. This summer, the leading cause of divorce was found to be financial issues, followed closely by basic incompatibility. But over the years, researchers have determined certain factors that put people at higher risk for divorce are marrying young, limited education and income, living together before commitment to marriage, premarital pregnancy, no religious affiliation, coming from a divorced family, and feelings of insecurity. Those are fairly good points and may lead to divorce, but the way I see it, it's more than that. A lot of things can be worked out. You know, that's what marriage counselors are for, and things like that. Now, you can't just go by your entire life relying on counselors or reading books and stuff like that, you know. I mean, guidance is good. Guidance is always necessary, you know, other than family, of course, because coming from family, you can get biased information. You know, that particular family member that you seek, that you sought information from, probably doesn't like your spouse or whatever the case may be, and they're going to give you information based off how they feel, because they really don't, you know, want y'all together anyway. So you kind of got to be careful of who you confide in when it comes to marital problems. And, you know, marriage is a serious thing. And what I've noticed over the years, marriage has not been so sacred and serious as it once was. It's like people are out here just doing it just because, doing it for clout, doing it because their friends are married or, you know, want to be a part of the club. And, you know, they're not doing it for the real reason, and that's love. And like, y'all need to really take the time to think over things. Like, do you really love this person? Do you see yourself spending the rest of your life with this person? Do you see yourself having kids, the whole family, the picket fence, the nice house? Do you see yourself building that type of future with this person? I mean, if you can't come to a common ground and feel that, you know, fully, if you're just unsure about that, then marriage isn't the answer. Now I know how some people do, they go on and try the marriage because they end up having a child, you know, pregnancy kind of leads to it. And some people want to do it right, you know, with people being probably raised up in a real religious background that, you know, you're supposed to do it the right way. You're not supposed to have a child out of wedlock and things of that nature, but things happen. You got to understand the times now are very modern, and, you know, it's kind of hard to follow those biblical expectations and guidelines. You know, we try to follow the Holy Bible to a T as best we can, but the way the world is, you know, things are more modern, and a lot of leeway has been provided now and all other things. It's just all kind of crazy, you know? So it comes from a moral standpoint of a person within themselves. We as a people have to know what we want. We have to be decisive on what we want in life, and we got to cut the nonsense out. Like, you know how people be saying, you know, I'm tired of all the games, the lies, and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, like, you know, getting a relationship is a lot of work, honestly. You know, from the beginning to the courtship to, you know, all of it, because you have to really be looking for something. You can't just be out here, oh, let me just try this person out, or I'm just out here looking for sex, or, you know, you can't be that way. And that comes from a lot of whole other problems, you know, that I can't really get into. that could be probably for another episode or something like that. But it's just, you know, us as people, men and women, you know, we're not going to attack one gender and do that kind of thing either. I'm just calling it like it is, you know. We have to be better as people. And that's with anything, not just marriage. I mean, life in general, like, that's the only way that things are going to work the way they are meant to work. We cannot be involving ourselves with people and we're unsure of what we want, or we're just doing it because, you know, going through the motion, you know, wasting that person's time. A lot of women have become so damaged, you know, from relationships because of people not knowing what they want or only wanting a certain thing. And, you know, a lot of innocent people have been hurt badly, you know, mentally, spiritually, and things like that, to the point where some people just don't even want a relationship anymore. Or it may push them to be, you know, try to consider trying the other gender, you know, going bi or fully, you know, on homosexual or whatever. And, you know, it's just a lot of stuff could be avoided if people would be better, if people would know what they want, if people would actually get back to loving, caring for people, you know, stuff not being a competition or doing it because society wants you to do it at a certain age or at a certain time, or because you're in this certain place, or whatever the case may be, or if because your parents are maybe pressuring you, whatever the reason is, you know, we got to get out of that. You have to love someone because you love them, not because the world wants you to love them, not because your friend wants you to love them, not because, you know, whatever reason it may be that's pushing you or driving you. You have to figure this out for yourself. I mean, you know, get all the help you can. You know, it's always good to gain knowledge on every little thing. You know, it's key. It'll help you a long way. But don't be out here wasting people's time, period. And that's just all it is to it. You know, now dating is dating. You know, you're not fully committed. You know, you're just trying to figure things out, find yourself, get your feet wet, especially for those who've, you know, probably recently came out of bad relationships. And that's just the way it is. And I feel for anyone, man or female, that has gone through something terrible, you know, as far as looking for love, you know, how they say looking for love in all the wrong places, you know, that plays a factor as well. But you're just out here searching. You know, there's really no right or wrong place. I mean, in a sense, you know, if we just really dig deep, like, oh, okay, well, you shouldn't be at no strip club looking for somebody or, you know, stuff like that. We just get into details or stuff like that. But overall, to me, I don't feel there's a wrong place to look for love. It just all depends on how you are as a person, what are you into, and, you know, and what you want in a person. And if you want a certain kind of thing or certain attributes in a person, then you would have to go to that place where you would find that particular person at, you know. Some people find love at clubs. Some people find love at bars. You know, we're not knocking that way. I mean, that is the traditional way, you know. All it is sparking a conversation with someone. And then, you know, if it sparks something, it cool. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, that's how friendships are formed too. And it's best to form a friendship before you try to forming a relationship, you know. I mean, that's just all it is to it. Trying to go off the bat, go straight into the relationship, it doesn't work always. Now, love at first sight is real. You know, as much as a lot of people, you know, are up in the air about it, love at first sight is real. It does happen. You know, some people get married right away. Things work out. They have kids, happy life, you know, fairy tale ending. It does exist. It's not that it doesn't. It's just a very slim chance, you know, just like hitting the lottery. It's a very slim chance it happening, you know, as far as love is first sight. I mean, because you can be attracted to a person, you know, physically, you know, their features and stuff. But once you get to know them, you may not like certain things. And, you know, you can work that out because, like I said, you're going to have differences. You know, people are different. That's just the bottom line. You know, you have to be mature and work those things out, put them on the forefront, bring them to the table and see if y'all can work y'all differences out. That's the same thing with marriages. You know, you have to work things out. You know, once you tie the knot with someone, I mean, don't just break up with them like easily, you know, like little pity fights or just small disagreements. I mean, that ain't no reason to end a marriage over. You know, it's different. Once you marry someone, everything is just gets tightened. Everything gets heightened to a whole new level. And, you know, just like when you say your vows, like you actually have to mean those vows. Like that ain't just no, oh, I'm just saying this because this is the part of the marriage and this is what I came up with to say or whatever. No, you have to actually mean that stuff. You know, you're talking to a person's heart, a person's soul. They're like literally putting their life on the line here in a way, you know, so it's a real serious deal. And I wish people would get back to that. If people get back to that, divorces would really go down. You know, it wouldn't be so high as it is, whatever the number may be now, and things like that. Yeah, that for better or worse is like a true statement. Some, you know, it's not going to be easy. It gets hard sometimes, you know. It can get hard financially. You know, it don't be nobody's fault. It just happens. You know, life happens. And you just have to stick with it and fight and come to a common ground, get on the same page and go from there. And if a lot of people would do that instead of just throwing in the towel so quick or just throwing in the towel, period, really. I mean, now, cheating, you know, we talked about in the last episode, you know, can a relationship be the same once someone cheats? And, you know, we talked about, me and my co-host, Miss Pride, we discussed that, you know, it can and it can't. It can if you work it out, depending on how the person cheated or whatever the case may be. Now, if the person just out of here just constantly cheating on you, then yeah, that's a bigger problem. That's a whole nother can of worms. But if it was like an accident, you know, out with the friends, someone came on to them, you know, they slipped up a little bit or something like that. That can be worked out. You know, that's a mistake. People make mistakes. You know, no one is safe from being cheated on. You know, you see what happened with the whole, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce, you know, it doesn't matter what level you're on as a person, you know, anybody is viable to get cheated on. Whether that person realizes their mistake and learn from it and tries their best to win your trust back for the rest of the relationship or marriage or whatever the case may be, cool. But if that person makes that mistake again, then, you know, there's nothing pretty much left. I mean, you can try your best to just hold it together. You know, you got kids together. You don't want to break up the family. You know, it's a lot of factors you think about and try to decide on whether or not to break up a family or not. And, you know, I can't ultimately rule against that. I feel that, you know, no matter what, you shouldn't break up a family. But then again, I also go by another rule, you know, you should never settle as well. If you're not happy and you're not thriving the way you want or feel, then you have a right to leave. You know, it just didn't work out. And that's just what it is. You know, don't force anything as well. You know, that's another thing. Love is going to be love. You'll know. Trust me. You'll know when you find the right one. You'll know when it clicks. Even with the disagreements and arguments or whatever may happen, you know, the love is what's going to keep you together. You know, you can get mad at that person, but at the end of the day, if y'all can find y'all way back to each other, that's the ultimate thing. So, like with those other factors of divorce, saying that these are, you know, other factors of divorce, you know, incompatibility. Now that happens, but I mean, you kind of, to me, with the whole incompatibility part, that should be found out in the courtship stage, you know, when y'all dating and stuff like that. Unless people out here just lying, you know, cause people do that too. They put up a front for so long. And then eventually, you know, make it to the marriage point. And then once the marriage happens, you start finding out all different type of stuff about the person that they didn't show you during the courtship and dating stage. And people got to stop doing that as well. Like I said before, us as people have to do better. Like we need to just cut it out, be mature and decisive about what we want in a person and a relationship, and stop trying to put on a front, you know, stop trying to be someone you're not, you know, be yourself. There's somebody out there for everyone, you know, point blank period. It is, but whether you want to believe it or not, it, you know, it's someone for someone. It may not be someone you want, but it's someone you need. You know, I've came across that situation many times where you meet someone and they may not want you, but you're the person that's good for them. You're the person that they need, but they too stuck in their ways of ideal person that they want, even though that person, that type of person that they're seeking is not good for them. And, you know, it happens. People got to learn, you know, that's what life is all about. You know, they say life is what you make it. And it is, you have to learn from the mistakes, you know, they'll eventually learn from the mistakes, but sometimes it kind of doesn't work in their favor because, you know, once they do try to go back to that person they need, the person, that person that they do, that they need, is in a whole nother relationship. You know, they can't wait around for you either. Like I said, you can't settle. That's one thing you cannot do in life is settle. Don't just take it like, oh, that's okay. I'll be all right. I'll just stick with this. And no, that's not good for your health, your mental health or anything. Like, happiness is key. Laughter is key. That's what you need in your life to live a long, stable, happy life. You have, it has to be some happiness in it. And that's all it is to it. But yeah, as far as the number one cause of divorce, yeah, it could be financial. But like I said, that can even be worked out. You know, you have to be willing to, you know, work with a person. Now, if the person not putting in the effort and they're like just giving up, throwing in the towel or whatever, not trying to do anything, not trying to right the ship, then that's understandable, you know, go ahead, part ways. But if the person is trying, doing their best, you know, they just can't catch a break right now, because you know how hard it is to kind of find a job sometime, you know, you can go months. It just happens that way sometime, especially depending on what line of work you're into, or what line of work your credentials you have and things like that. You know, all that plays a factor, but you know, if a person's trying, at least give them benefit of doubt to a certain degree, you know. But if they're not trying and they just like want to leech off you because you got everything all together, then yeah, you know, that you already know what to do there. So I just want to clear that up, let people know, you know, more in detail how divorce is and what's the number one cause of it, and what could be prevented? Because a lot of it can be prevented, divorce and regular relationship breakups, you know, in general. Like, a lot of things can be avoided by just communication alone. Not even bringing no one else in, like a counselor, you know. It shouldn't have to always go to that point either, you know, far as needing outside assistance, you know. But if the outside assistance is needed, you know, make sure to seek the right outside assistance. Make sure the help you're getting is genuine, pure, and non-biased to your relationship. Next topic I want to talk about is polygamy relationship interest. And what I mean by that is, you know, poly relationships have been kind of on the rise lately. Like, they've been getting a lot of attention. More people have been interested in trying them, giving them a shot. The information that they've been gaining from them, that what's been shown to them, you know, to society standards, that they are good to try and be in, and they work, and, you know, all the good stuff of the poly relationships are being shown, rather than just all of it in general. You know, it's one-sided to get people to, you know, get involved in it and things like that. And, you know, there's a lot of different factors that's against it, you know, religious and laws, and I'm gonna break all that down here in a second. But my take on poly relationships is they shouldn't exist. I mean, some people say, you know, you can love two people, your heart can be in two places at one, which may be true to an extent, you know, but to a point where you're just in a full intimate relationship with two people and you're sharing, and I don't see no common ground in it. I don't see that as a full existence. I just see it as, oh, it's something popular, let's try it. Or, you know, maybe like in a situation where, you know, you're dealing with twins and you want both of them, or I don't know. Because it was something on the radio, you know, on Steve Harvey Morning Show one day, and it was a letter or whatever. They were discussing about this woman, and, you know, she was with this man, and the twin, they're twins or whatever. And one night the twin had walked in naked saying he wanted to join them, you know, while they was having sex. And then so she let him, and she enjoyed the experience, and, you know, she let him do it to her, you know, two or three more times. And she was saying, is it wrong? Or are they playing some, she said, had they played some kind of, have they, the question she was asking was, did they play this game with someone else? And the show's response was, you know, yes. And they just haven't just done it. That got a person to do it that many times as the particular woman, you know, that was involved, you know, has done it or whatever. And that was the show's response. And with that, that's not really, you know, polygamy. That's just full on, you know, threesomes. Now, if they come to an agreement where, okay, well, let's actually just be a relationship together and let's just have, you know, threesomes every night. You know, y'all twins, so y'all can have me, and, you know, like that. And poly relationships, I believe that's where they came from. You know, people trying threesomes, liking it, the whole swinger stuff. You know how some couples like to see their mate have sex with someone else, like, you know, all that. I think that's what created the birth of, you know, polygamy relationships. And here I'm going to break down, you know, informatively of the differences in it. You have polygamy and you have, you know, polyamory. Okay. All right. So let me just start here. Polyamory is not a legal protected status like being straight or gay. You can lose your job for being polyamorous. Courts can use it against you in child custody proceedings. And polyamory and non-monogamy take many different forms. In short, here's the explanation. Polyamory is the act of having intimate relationships with more than one person at the same time. A polyamorous person might have or might be open to having multiple romantic partners. You know, like I just mentioned with the whole, you know, threesome stuff and, you know, swinging, you know, like how some couples do, like the swing. But polygamy, on the other hand, involves being married to multiple partners. See, that's where it gets dicey. That's the difference. Both of them kind of mean the same thing. That's why they both have poly on them, you know, three-person relationship. But the polygamy is the actual marriage between three people. You know, you're married to two people at the same time and doing the whole shebang like that. And a lot of people are actually leaning towards that. You know, I've seen some cases, you know, as me studying this topic, I've seen some cases where there's a woman and for some reason she started falling for her best friend. You know, they were drunk one night, ended up getting sexually involved, and they grown closer to each other in that form or fashion. But she had a boyfriend at the time and she really cared for her boyfriend and stuff like that. So she came to her boyfriend and he agreed, of course. You know, most guys will agree to a threesome, you know, two girls, you know, it's a nice experience, you know. I haven't had it myself, you know, just putting that out there. Am I open to trying it? Probably not, you know. I like doing things the right way. But yeah, she brought it to his attention that, you know, the way she feels about her best friend is the same way she feels about him. And he agreed to it. Now, I don't know the whole story. I don't know if they end up getting married, going the whole polygamy route, but they tried it out and stuff like that. I don't know the full success of it, but that was one scenario. Another scenario was a person, you know, they stuck on their ex, but they also want someone else as well because they were stuck on their ex, but they started feeling for someone else as well. So they didn't want to get rid of the new relationship and go back to their ex. So they told the new person they were dealing with, you know, would you be willing to be with me and my ex or whatever? And I guess they tried it out. It actually kind of worked for a minute. They actually went the whole route, you know, getting married and everything. You know, he remarried the ex and he also married the new person. And they went from there. It was other scenarios where, you know, it was two guys and one girl. Like, it wasn't just always, oh, the guy got the best of both worlds. It was some situations where, you know, girls had two guys and those kind of got physical and violent, you know, to a point, you know, men, you know, testosterone levels rising, you know, and, you know, you end up seeming like it's a competition. You're trying to fight for this one woman's love. And, you know, when they say, you know, according to reports, they say when you love someone like deeply, you tend to want them to yourself. And, you know, I believe that's true. And that's another reason why, you know, I'm not a big fan of the whole, you know, poly stuff, because if you love somebody deeply, of course you don't want to share it with nobody else, whether your brother or not, or whatever the case may be. I don't feel, you know, with the whole twins and stuff, I just don't. I mean, I don't care if that's a twin or not, and you're close with your twin like that or whatever. Sharing partners is just not the way to go, you know. Now, I'm not telling nobody how to live their life. I'm just putting it out there how I see it from my perspective, of course, and of course to the facts and other stipulations. But, you know, I'm not knocking it, you know, but I'm just putting it out there that I encourage people not to go that route. I encourage people to find love, continue finding love the traditional way, and go from there, because it'll work out better that way. You know, you don't want to get into a situation where, you know, you end up fighting over a person and, you know, it could lead to death or someone acting crazy, someone getting jail time, just all type of bad stuff that could have been avoided had people not tried to go that route in the first place. And that's how I see it. And then, you know, like I told you, like I mentioned earlier, you know, you got the whole religious point of it. And people was like, well, they had multiple wives in the biblical times. And yeah, they did. It's crazy. But like I said, we're in modern times now. We can't follow everything the Bible did back in those times. It was different back then. John Gill comments on 1 Corinthians 7 and states that polygamy is unlawful and that one man is to have but one wife and to keep to her, and that one woman is to have but one husband and to keep to him. And the wife only has a power over the husband's body, a right to it, and may claim the use of it. And that's just basically right. That's just the bottom line. You know, a relationship is meant for two people and two people only. And You know, we don't need to be confusing kids out here. That's another issue I worry about, you know, confusing the younger generation, especially with the whole homosexual stuff, too. You know, people growing up having two dads or whatever, you know. Like I said, once again, I'm not knocking the situation. I have no type of beef towards people that go this route or people that's living this lifestyle, you know. And it is happy, you know, Pride Month, you know, happy Pride Month to all the those a part of the LGBTQ community. But I'm just calling it like I see it. You know, people, things should just be done the right way as they've always intended to be. I understand people get their feelings and feel different, or, you know, hormones are all different. Things are all just different. And we're just in this time now, and we have to just go along with our lives and do it. You know, like I said, we have to be better as people. Whatever we choose to do, you know, whether we do choose to be homosexual, you know, take pride in it. Whether we choose to be right, you know, heterosexual, like we're supposed to, you know, take pride in it and just go from there. But yeah, I believe the whole poly stuff did result from, you know, the whole people trying the threesomes and the swinging of couples and stuff like that. And I think that swinging stuff came from like more celebrity or rich couples, I think, because they had the money to do it, or they just had a lot of rich friends and they just had these little parties, these swinging parties. And, you know, I guess, you know, what they see it as getting all their curiosities out, saying like, oh, I wonder how it would be if I was with my best friend's wife, or, you know, look, crazy stuff like that. Like, why is that even popping in your head if you love your wife or if you love your husband? Why is that even... Where did that curiosity come from? Like, I mean, was that person flirting with you? I mean, or was that person making passes at you? Because, I mean, that does happen. You know, you got to watch some of your friends and stuff like that. And, you know, who you bring your significant others around, because, you know, people just be on some crazy stuff sometimes. And, you know, you got to protect your inner circle at all costs. Same thing with kids, you know. You know, you can't let your kids be taken care of by just everybody, whether they family or not. Everybody's way with kids is not ideal, of course. You know, you have to be mindful of that. So, you know, just protect your inner circle at all costs. Kids, relationship, all of it. And you should be good, basically. But yeah, as far as the poly relationships, you know, I don't condone it, of course. You know, but if to each his own, if you're doing it, I hope it's successful. I hope, you know, you're not walking a thin line of anything, and that all the partners involved are happy and things go on like that. So, but that's my bit on it. Next topic I want to talk about is for women 30 and up, if they don't have kids, is it a red flag? And this topic was submitted by one of our listeners, and I'm going to break it down for them. To me, no. Because like I've stated before, stop living up to society's standards. Now, with science, you know, science kind of backs this a little bit, whereas, you know, far as when is the right time, or, you know, what is the time limit as far as when to have a kid. And it's in the 30s, you know, you shouldn't really go past your 30s, your late 30s or your mid 30s of trying to have a child. I mean, it could be done. It's not impossible. You know, Janet Jackson did it, of course, at 50. You know, you've seen Serena. She had hers around at 37. You know, she's 39 now. But I mean, nothing's wrong with when you choose to have kids. And if a person hasn't found that right person, or hasn't trusted a person enough, or hasn't really just went there all the way with a person like that, then that's their right. And, you know, kudos to them for not having a kid out of wedlock, for one, and for two, not having a kid with just any old body because, you know, you thought you felt something and you thought that it was going to be a good relationship. You know, some people out here just looking for sex, and that's period. And a lot of women get trapped in it and they end up getting pregnant, you know, and that's how it happens most of the time, you know. But it's not a red flag to me. You know, a woman that's 30 and up, you know, if they don't have a kid yet, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. Y'all can't just put it on the woman like, oh, it's the woman's fault that she doesn't have kids yet. Maybe everybody that she's dated, she probably ran them off. You can't stereotype nobody like that. You cannot judge a book by its cover. And, you know, you don't even know this woman like that enough to even just make that assumption. Figure it out of what happened. I mean, she could have been through a lot of bad relationships. You know, guys taking advantage of her and, you know, messing her up mentally and spiritually. And, you know, she's really trying to find a hard time trusting again. You know, like I said, having kids and marriage is a serious deal. And that's why, like I said in the earlier topic with the whole divorce thing, that marriage isn't sacred like it used to be. And we need, us as people need to get back to that. And that goes for relationships and having kids too. Do not bring kids here in this world that did not ask to be here in the first place. You know, I think that'll help with the whole child custody stuff that go on in the courts. You know, all those cases would drop down to a minimum because, you know, people out here just having kids with any old body and y'all not compatible. And, you know, half of it was either one night stands or it was just hookups and stuff. Cause like, you know, I've came across women's profiles, you know, social media, and they're putting in their bios, like, not interested in hookups and stuff like that. Like, why are hookups are a thing? Like, why are you just out here? Oh, let me just hook up with them. Let's just have sex for a night. Or like, I don't even know why people are agreeing to something like that. Like, that is just crazy to me. That's beyond me. I don't understand that. Like it, I don't get it. Like, you just out here online, you know, online dating or social media, whatever the case is, whatever platform they're using, Plenty of Fish, all the whatever site, and you're just out there looking for somebody to have sex with. And like, I just don't see that. Like, you know, sex should be a sacred thing as well. Cause I mean, it's all a part of the sex, children, and marriage should be sacred. And I'm not even going the religious route. I mean, I don't even have to put the religious point into it. It's sacred just because of what it is. You know, it's a life-changing development. You know, getting married changes your life, you know, financially, location-wise, or whatever the case may be. You know, a lot of factors go into marriage. A lot of factors go into having kids. You know, these are offsprings of yours. You know, they bear your last name. And, you know, bringing kids into a situation, you have to be ready for that. You got to commit to that. That's like a long haul. You know, all the way until they, you know, reach adulthood and teenagehood and all that, you have to commit to that long term. And it really burns me up how there are men out here that are having kids with women and quick to not claim them or just not willing to take care of them like they should. Now, I get it. Some people are not in a position to do so and they need help or whatever the case may be, but that doesn't give you the right to just shut it out and just try to run from it altogether. Like, the way I see it, the court, the government or whatever, they shouldn't have to make you take care of your kids. I mean, you laid down with that woman, you chose to lay down with that woman to have that child. And, you know, you need to reap the consequences or benefits of it just like she's doing. You know, I'm tired of men putting it all on women like that and stuff like that. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, it is some women that are at fault too, you know, trapping men just because, you know, you got some women that wants to live off of the system, you know, live off of Section 8, live off of stamps and not try to do nothing better for their life. Just use kids as an income. And, you know, I get that, you know, that exists too. You know, I'm not turning a blind eye to that. You know, both genders are at fault, male or female. But it just, ultimately the men though, like they're the main ones that do it. You rarely seldomly see a woman have a kid and try to just punt it off on the man and go on about her business. That case does not present itself. It's probably like, that probably happens like probably 5 to 10% of the time, you know, and that's just what it is. So that's why it burns me up that men do not stand up and take responsibility like they should. And that just goes to maturity and us not being better as people, because I keep telling it. I know I've been saying it all through this episode that, you know, we should be better as people, and we do. And that's another thing. If we was better as people, a lot of stuff would be avoided. You know, a lot of more kids would have two-parent homes. A lot of marriages would still be marriages, less divorces. It would just be a better place. But this world is just, you know, is ravaged in sin, and it's just chaos out there, and we just got to really look out for one another and, you know, try to live the best life we can. So that's how I feel about that. But, you know, getting back to the topic, it's not a red flag for women or men. You know, I can put it that way as well. It's not a red flag for men 30 and up to not have kids either. I mean, they probably were cautious or whatever, you know, didn't go there with that person. You know, didn't find the lucky woman to bear children with. And that's their right. That's their, you know, their decision. You can't just knock someone for that. Oh, you know, like, I be seeing that too. Like, some friends and family be kind of coding people into it a little bit. Like, they be like, ooh, girl, you like 35, you ain't had no kid yet. Or you 35, 36, only got one kid, you ain't gonna have no more. Or just like how some moms do their daughters, oh, you almost 40 and you ain't married yet. And what's going on with you? What's wrong with you? What you do to men that make them not want you? And all that little ignorant stuff. And I don't like that either. You know, like, why are you doing that? Why are you downing a person's confidence or whatever the case may be, their self-esteem or whatever? You know, people have their own choices. You know, people are out here grown. And, you know, if they chosen to wait so long or chose to just not get married, period, I mean, that's their right. And, you know, you can't knock people for that. It's not a red flag. It don't mean they're crazy. You know, now don't get me wrong. There is some crazy people out there. You know, you do have the crazy baby mama does exist. The crazy baby father does exist. You know, we see it. And that's the whole reason why, you know, we have to have a court system in place to negate those type of situations. But at the same time, don't just look at it as, oh, she like 30 some, almost 40, ain't had a kid yet. That don't mean she's crazy. That's just her decision. And in her life, she's probably dodged a lot of good bullets. Because, you know, you can't just have a kid with just anybody. It won't work. I mean, y'all at differences, you know, can't get along, but you had a kid with this person. How you going to be parents? You know, how you going to co-parent? You know, I commend the people that actually do co-parent well, you know, because some people, they co-parent well. They got a whole other family, both, you know, parents, but they're co-parenting well. The families blend perfectly. No drama exists and all the kids get along. And, you know, that's what's up. I commend people out there. You know, if you're listening, I commend y'all that are in those type of situations that's doing it the right way. You know, that takes a real big level of maturity to get over your differences, put your pride to the side for the sake of the children. And, you know, it's something hard to do. And that's why I big shout out to people that are doing it the right way. Moving on. Next topic I want to talk about is it true the only reason the Meghan Markle Prince Harry relationship gets a lot of attention in the Black community is a secret agenda to make Black women forget about the Black man? Now, you know, this is crazy. You know, I'm pro-Black as it is and real talk this and all that, you know, what I stand for. But this is just ignorant to me, you know, and I've come across a lot of topics where, you know, it was a ignorant ideology. It began because of an ignorant ideology and an ignorant mindset. And that's where this came from. It was some Black guy. I don't know who it was. Someone posted the video saying that, oh, you know, y'all need to wake up. He said what he said. Somebody posted it on Snapchat, I believe, of it was some either show or maybe he was a podcast or it was an interview. Like, whatever it is, I don't know who the Black guy was, but he was stating that, you know, the only reason that particular relationship gets a lot of attention in the Black community is because of that reason. And I'm just like, nah, dog. I mean, you know, we try to be woke and educate people as best we can. You know, oppression has been, you know, ailing us for so many years, and racism and colorism and, you know, all these different obstacles are out there. They do exist. You know, we fight against it every day, prejudice and things like that. But when you start using the Black card, you know, wrong like that, that's what kind of upsets me. You know, our ancestors went through so much to even get us to where the level that we're at now. And it's up to us to continue that fight so we can continue to make things better for the generations under us. And when people start using the black card wrong like that in this term, it really burns me up. And, you know, for those who don't know, you know, Meghan Markle is, you know, she is, you know, considered black, you know, nationality, you know, and, you know, so that's, you know, to put that out there. And that's why they say, oh, this relationship is viewed by the black community as a secret agenda for black women to get about the black man. No, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it like this. Some things that the black man has done to our own black women is terrible. And us as black men are making the black woman forget about us on our own. It has nothing to do with no secret agenda that, you know, the government is doing or any other race is doing. And another factor, people can pick who they want. People have their preference. If people choose to date outside their race, that's their right. Now, some people have their reasons, you know, some of their reasons could be wrong. You know, we kind of talked about this probably, I think, earlier this season or last season, where we talked about, you know, does the sellout thought or theory exist? And what it was is, you know, black men go after white women because of what black women do to them, or, and the black woman was there from the beginning before they got their money and stuff like that. Like I said, both genders are at fault here. You know, I'm tired of all this one-sided stuff, you know, with the whole feminism project and, you know, how that goes. And then you got the other side of the line, you know, the men are against the women. Like, this needs to just come to an end, honestly. I'm tired of the men being against the women. I'm tired of the women being against the men. Now, like I said, we done over the years, you know, we have done some messed up things to each other, predominantly in our own community, you know, black community. And it's messed up. And, you know, it has caused a lot of trust issues and a lot of damaged people mentally and spiritually because of what we've done to each other. Like I said earlier, we need to get back to loving each other, caring for each other. You know, kind of like how Tupac said in one of his songs when he was saying, you know, why do we rape our black women? We need to protect our black women, you know, like that. And he's right. Like, why are we doing this to our own kind, for one? And why are we doing this to women, period? You know, women are a vital part of everyday life, and they should be respected like the queens they are, regardless of what their race is. And us as people need to do better. I know I done said this probably 6-7 times throughout the entire episode, but it's fact. You know, I can't shy away from that. We as people have to do better. Us as men have to do better. Us as women have to do better, regardless of race, you know, regardless of your nationality, regardless of what country you from or whatever. Us as people have to do better. And that's the only way that we're going to survive the way that we need to survive, is us coming together and being better as people. But yes, I really am tired of that whole beef. You know, it's been going on for so long. You know, men ain't this, women ain't that, they're crazy, and this like that. And they are, you know, it ain't that it doesn't exist. I know it's out there. There are some people that's crazy, some people that can, you know, work on themselves better than most, and it causes a lot of problems. But don't just point that out or just put that all on, you know, the whole race, that, oh, this particular person that you had a bad experience with, oh, that's how all black people are, or that's how all, you know, Caucasian people are, or that's how all Asian people are. You can't do that. Stop with the stereotypes. Like, people, if you're listening, stop with the stereotypes, all stereotypes, regardless of what the topic is. Stop putting labels on people and you don't know these people yourself. Like, get to know people. Stop judging books by their cover. Stop doing all this nonsense and just get to know people for who they really are and see if it works. A lot of people probably missed out on love because of that reason. You know, oh, well, I don't, that person got this going on, I don't think I should give them a try. You don't even know what the reason why they had that going on. Something could have happened. You don't know. I mean, you know, it's the way it is. Certain people supposed to come in our life. Some are meant to stay and some are meant to go. You know, some are just meant to be there temporarily to either for us to learn from something, you know, a mistake that we could keep committing or get you through a hardship or whatever the case may be. And then others are meant to stay. But some people mess up on that, on the people that's meant to stay, for being, you know, crazy or just messing up or not seeing the signs. And like, we just got to get back to being right. You know, we just got to get back to it. You know, at one point it wasn't like this. It really wasn't. And, you know, I haven't been alive long enough to know, you know, when that time was. Maybe some of elders out there could know, possibly, maybe, to learn something from them of when it was better. And some people say the 90s was better as far as love and stuff. You know, they even made movies and shows kind of highlighting that a little bit. But, you know, my co-host, Ms. Pryor, kind of disagreed with that. And, you know, with her being, you know, older, she kind of lived through the 80s and 90s. And, you know, she said it was the same, you know, from her standpoint, it's the same. You know, it was, you know, she said it's probably gotten worse. You know, she didn't disagree with that point of it, but she was saying it was pretty much the same for as relationships. You know, people have been conniving for years. You know, it goes way back, I guess. And I guess you probably could say that. I mean, you know, because, you know, sin's been here forever, for however long the earth has been here. And it's just, you know, some people ain't right. You know, people have secret agendas. People try to get over on people and all types of stuff. And it's kind of just repeating itself nowadays. You know, people are kind of doing these things again, or they're finding better ways to do these things. And it's kind of messed up. You know, we're finding better ways to do wrong. Shouldn't we be finding better ways to do right? You know, that's just the way I see it. Which brings me to my last topic of the night, generational beef. The premillennial group wanting praise for the things you are supposed to do in life. And what I mean by this is the premillennial group, the people that are just now turning 18, just now turning 20, 21, 22, that group, you know, because what I've been seeing lately, social media, people of those age groups have been celebrating, oh, we doing better than you all, the 25 to 30 group, or the whoever, you know, age group they be targeting this towards. They be like, oh, we got a house and a car and everything by the age of 21. You know, our credit score is good and all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's all fine and dandy, but that's something you're supposed to do. I mean, we commend you for doing that. You know, that's good, but you got to understand things are different. You know, more opportunities will be available for the younger generations. You know, the older generations had to fight through a lot of more, you know, situations and turmoil and chaos. And things don't come as easy as it's coming to the younger generation. You know, we're doing this for them. You know, for anything, my point of view of it is they need to be more thankful, you know, of the pioneers before them that paved the way so they can achieve this stuff at an earlier age, so people can retire at an earlier age. You know, the whole common goal is to retire by 35 or something like that. You know, people before us, you know, ain't no telling what they had to do for things to get to that level. You know, some, like, because think about it. What if the whole, you know, civil rights movement didn't take place, and if we were still dealing with Jim Crow laws and stuff like that? Now, don't get me wrong, there are certain little countries, places that still kind of got stuff to that agree in place. You know, slavery is still out there as well. You know, small, you know, it's unhidden and seen, but it's still out there to a degree. You know, it wasn't fully abolished in certain areas. But what if the whole world was still like that? Like, what if the 50s and 60s was still like right now, you know? But It took some people to fight against it, you know, to provide that change. And for you to just downplay it as, oh, we're doing better than you all, you know, and we younger than y'all. Y'all still 30. Some of y'all still live at home and, you know, just going off. And it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be no generational beef. Honestly, it should be people, you know, thanking each other, you know, helping each other out. The younger generation can probably help the older generation of how to, you know, continue to fight and figure things out. And vice versa, the older generation can help the younger generation be better in their own right. And it shouldn't be no beef. It should just be all work togetherness. And, you know, I got to say it again, better as people. Like, we have to get better as people from an aspect of everything so we can continue the way we need to continue. And yeah, that's why I've been noticing it a lot more lately, because I've seen it before, but now it's kind of like getting out of hand. It's making more noise than it was before the first time I've discovered it. And that's why I came to talk about it here tonight. And it's just like, it makes no sense. The beef shouldn't exist. No beef should exist. Like, you know, with the beef that be going on in the music world, you know, some of it would just be for clout. Some of it is just to sell your records, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm not with that. You know, as me being an artist myself, I wouldn't ever do that. If somebody comes after me, you know, trying to beef with me or talk about something, you know, talk about me or whatever, I'm going to ignore it. I'm not going to respond. They can make all the diss tracks they want. They'll never get a diss track out of me. Some people may call me soft for it, or they might view me as a way they want to view me. But at the end of the day, I mean, that ain't what it's all about. Music is just something that we, you know, us as artists, something that we empower people about, you know, whether it be we're talking about our life experiences or whether we're talking about a specific social cause or whatever the case may be. You know, music is used to connect people, heal people, and things like that. All this beefing about people or trying to be better than the next man and all that. And, you know, that's my ultimate problem with the city of Dallas. You know, it's too divided. That's why our music platform here in Dallas isn't where it needs to be, because there's too many snakes in the game. Like, you know, we should all want to work together. We should all want to lift each other up, you know, male and female. Like, why is there some type of animosity towards people? You know, oh, just because somebody, that particular person getting their shine on, oh, you don't like that they're getting their shine on and you're not. Everybody's going to have their turn, and everybody would have their turn if everybody would help each other out. That's why Atlanta is ahead of us as far as music. You know, they work together. They're not all at each other's necks and throats and stuff like that, killing each other over little pointless beefs and stuff like that. You know, okay, he took your girlfriend. Well, that means she really wasn't yours to begin with, right? Or, you know, a little small, just immature stuff. And, you know, I don't like that. And, you know, with my family, they kind of fear that aspect of the music industry for me. They feel like, you know, it's not safe. And, you know, I just got to go with it best way I can. You know, I want to work with anyone, you know, whether they're mainstream artists, independent artists, or whatever. Now, I'm a main advocate for independent artists. I want all independent artists to go hard and get the right credit that they need to get. But, you know, I'm willing to work with mainstream artists as well, you know, and just vibe, you know, because we all artists, we all make music, and we just, you know, doing it. And that's just all it should be. It shouldn't be no, I don't like that person. They got more sales than me, or, you know, just all kind of other stupid stuff. And it shouldn't be like that. Like, no beef in the world should exist. Like, hatred and all that should be abolished. It shouldn't be no hatred. It shouldn't be none of that. It should be nothing but love, you know? You know, I hate to go the religious route here, but, you know, God is love. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know God. I commend people that may have fallen and they're turning their lives around and they're now seeking God and finding God and realize that love that I just mentioned, that God is love. But it's crazy. And like, all this need to just come to a stop. It really do. Like, if people were more willing to work together and study trying to, you know, get over on people, you know, be conniving, backstabbing, and just evil and stuff like that, the world would be a better place. A lot of things would be a better place. You know, more people would thrive and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of different genres out there. You got, you know, it ain't just hip hop. You know, you got the hip hop, the R&B, the rock, the gospel, all of it. And if we all just come together, make our music and our respective genres are sometimes crossover, because a lot of artists do crossover. You know, Taylor Swift being a prime example, how she crossed over between pop and country. But, you know, like, if we come together as people, a lot of things will work out better. I just see it that way. That's just my common ground. And that's what I want to work towards is, you know, me being an artist myself and an audio engineer. I want to bring artists together. I want to form you know, long-term partnerships, friendships, and things like that, you know, and create the most ultimate collaborations of all time and, you know, just stuff like that. Just really kick it like it's supposed to be done. You know, all of us is trying to reach that common goal of success. And, you know, if we put our minds together and ideas, projects and stuff together, everybody can reach it. You know, I want to make it so all everybody can eat, you know, and that's just always been my way of life and terminology. And hopefully one day I can do that, especially like with my nonprofit. You know, I'm trying to get that started so I can, you know, permanently end homelessness so they can get back into society because they're people too. You know, we can't keep turning our backs to them or only giving them temporarily help. But at the end of the day, they're still on the street. You know, they're able to work and stuff because they used to work. They used to have a job. I mean, you can't tell me that somebody just came in the world already homeless. You know, now that could happen. Like if somebody was like maybe end up getting homeless while they were pregnant or whatever, if you want to go into the technicalities like that. But no, you're not going to tell me that a person, you know, started homeless. You know, you're just not going to tell me that. And that's why I'm a big advocate of it. And I'm going to really do something about it. So, you know, everybody can get back how it's supposed to be, you know, and I commend the current presidency because he's working towards that. He's trying to help everyone. You know, it shouldn't be no middle class, high class and all that. It should be, you know, one class. Now, of course, it's still going to be a little high class because, you know, you got a lot of people that's rich out here, well off, you know, that level is going to be there. But it shouldn't be no low class. It should just be a middle class and a high class only. And the middle class shouldn't be too far off from the high class. It should be where everybody's able to eat, you know, somewhat equally. You know, all benefits that are able to the high class should be the same benefits able to the lower class or whatever. And, you know, that's what we need to work towards, focus on, and things like that. And that's just something I, you know, really want to happen. You know, kind of crazy. I got off topic here a little bit, but you know, when I'm passionate about something, I just go with it. You know, I just don't like it when stuff ain't going the way it needs to go. And, you know, it has the potential to do that. Like with certain artists too, you know, someone be having a lot of talent, but they have too much hatred in their heart. And they look at things based off of what's fed to them. You know, that's another thing, you know, some of these, you know, music empires are putting that particular message out there to keep us divided as artists. And, you know, I don't think they want us to work together too much and stuff like that. They want it to be divisive like that. And it shouldn't be like that. It'll work out a whole lot better if people will come together. And that's with every aspect, not just the entertainment business, anything. You know, corporate America, you know, for those who have worked in corporate America and those who are still working corporate America, it's a very, you know, hostile place. You know, it may not seem like it, but if you really know what I'm talking about and where I'm coming from, it's a hostile place. And it shouldn't be like that. You know, everybody should have opportunity to work, you know, get promoted and stuff like that without having to do little certain things to get it or whatever. You know, everybody should just have that opportunity to thrive. And that's what the world needs to work on and focus towards. Which brings me to my last topic of the night, which is mental health. And I come across this topic because recently, world fame, Japan nationality superstar Naomi Osaka withdrew from the French Open due to, you know, depression and anxiety and things of that nature. And she was being an advocate for mental health by not participating in, you know, media press conferences of the French Open. And it kind of all sparked out of proportion of, you know, why she did it. You know, they ended up finding her $15,000, you know, for not participating in the press conferences and stuff like that. So she ultimately decided to just go and withdraw and just take some time off from tennis. And I don't blame her. She had got a lot of support from all of her other peers, other tennis stars, you know, such as Serena Williams, Coco Gauff and others out there, as well as other people across, you know, the world. You know, Will Smith told her, you know, he said, "I get it. I understand." He wrote a little short letter to her. He said, "I get it. I understand. I'm with you. They're wrong and you're right," you know, and he's right. What people don't realize, you know, athletes are still human. Okay. They, as great as they are, and as all the time they put in to become as great as they are, and, you know, and just be on that high level like that is, you know, is astonishing. But at the same time, with these whole interviews constantly, you know, public speaking, you know, that's what it's generally called. And, you know, after a match or after a game or whatever sport it is, you know, these athletes don't feel like talking after every match, especially after a loss or whatever the case may be. You know, I get it. It's in their contract, you know, that, you know, they are required to attend the press conferences, so they won't be fined or whatever the case might be, but it needs to be a change. And it's been going like this for a while. I mean, you know, she may not be the only one. You know, other people just haven't probably spoke out about it or really voiced their views on it as, you know, as widely as she has. But, you know, this has been going on for a while. That and mental health as a whole, you know, we cannot overlook this issue. And it has nothing to do with race either. So for people that's listening, don't even go there with it, because it's not a race issue. This is just a personal, you know, person issue. A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people, you know, have anxiety and things of that nature. And, you know, Osaka, she said that she's been dealing with the depression ever since she kind of broke out, you know, into the fame by winning the 2018 U.S. Open, you know, against, you know, Serena Williams. And she said that she'd been dealing with it ever since then. And now it's just coming to a head. And it's kind of becoming, you know, more difficult for her to function. You know, she's pretty shy. And she said, you know, you see her with her headphones all the time. You know, she said it helps her, you know, kind of cope with it and get through matches and stuff like that. So, you know, I feel for her. I hope she makes a full recovery and returns to, you know, tennis and her top form, you know, as an athlete, you know, pretty soon, you know. And that's all it is there. And, you know, I totally disagree with what Brett Favre said, because he went off the wall saying, oh, well, she's making all that money, so she needs to attend those press conferences. And, you know, having that mindset is just not the right thing. Because like I just mentioned, you know, they're human. You know, they're not robots. You know, you ask them, they're already giving their all playing the sport that they love. And then all this extra added attention, you know, the media stuff and all that. You know, I get it. It's a part of it. And, you know, they got to report on the sports and stuff. But they should have it where they could decline, you know, if they choose to. You know, now, not just saying, oh, you know, they can decline just every single one. You know, that would be wrong and not fair. But they should have it, a clause or something, where these athletes can sometimes decline not to speak and not get fined for it. Like, you know, they could at least throughout the season probably give them like five or something like that, five passes on whether they can choose to, you know, miss a press conference or whatever the case may be. Because it's like, I noticed in tennis, you know, right after the match, they have a little small after the match interview right there, and then that's it. And then they got to go in into the actual media room where all the other media is and ask some more, you know, answer some more questions. And it shouldn't be like that. And another thing with the media too, they be asking a lot of off the wall questions, kind of like kind of starting some mess or, you know, trying to find something that ain't there or, you know, pin certain players against other players. And, you know, it's a lot of other crazy stuff that they do too. The media has been doing this for a while. And I've been noticing, you know, as I watch sports, you know, I watch all the sports, tennis, golf, basketball, and football, the Olympics and all in all. And, you know, sometimes the media be going overboard with some of their questioning. And I think that needs to be addressed too, because I think that's a factor that's playing a toll on some of these athletes mentally, you know, with some of the questions that they ask, whether they're too personal or just downright, you know, disrespectful in some form or fashion. So I think that needs to be addressed. The mental health needs to be addressed for athletes and regular people everywhere, because mental health is a serious thing. And just like I mentioned all throughout the show, we all got to be better as people and come together and fix these things that need to be fixed permanently. Other than that, that pretty much wraps up tonight's topics. Stay tuned for the outro. All right, that pretty much wraps up tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed tonight's Entrepreneur Spotlight guest. I hope you enjoyed the hot topics that were discussed tonight, as well as all the informative information that was mentioned in the intro. If you would like to be on the show as an Entrepreneur Spotlight guest, guest speaker, music guest, or even if you have topics you want us to discuss, simply email the show at brealtalklive@yahoo.com, as well as hit us up on Facebook at Real Talk Live DTX or on Instagram at BeRealTalkLive. Looking forward to hearing from you. Any businesses out there that would like to advertise on the show, you can take advantage of Brandon's Real Talk Live radio spot commercial service, where you can do a 1 minute, 3 minute, or 5 minute increment radio spot. Email the show at BeRealTalkLive@yahoo.com or hit us up on Facebook or Instagram to take advantage of those services as well. Also, as mentioned before, Real Talk Radio is no more. Now it has been replaced with the Realest Song of the Week. So all independent artists, you can still submit your songs to the email BeRealTalkLive and we will pick one of the songs to put on the show for that particular week. We will contact you to let you know when your song has been chosen and what episode it will be placed on, because all submissions will be used. Doesn't matter your genre or anything like that. As long as you submit your song, it will be a part of any of the upcoming episodes. If you would like to donate to one of the nonprofit organizations Brandon's Real Talk Live supports, the first one being the South Oak Cliff High School Band Booster Club that supports the New Soul of the South Marching Band. You can donate to them via Cash App, which is $SOC Band. You can follow them on Instagram at SOC New Soul of the South. That's new as in the letters N-U, or on Facebook at New Soul of the South. The other nonprofit organization you can support is my personal one, which is Braylon Blair Entities. You can donate to Braylon Blair Entities via PayPal by using the email BraylonBENT@yahoo.com. Cash App, which would be $BraylonBlairENT. Or you can hit the support this podcast button, which will give you 3 monthly options you can choose from. And those monthly proceeds will also go towards Braylon Blair Entities. You can follow Braylon Blair Entities on Instagram at Braylon BENT or on Facebook at Braylon Blair ENT. Lastly, if you are needing any type of job tips or you need your resume professionally written or cover letters professionally written, my co-host Miss Pride can hook you up with that. All you got to do is hit her up on Facebook at Keep Calm and Call a Resume Writer. Or you can go to her Instagram page at Miss Pride One, and the link to her professional resume writing services will be in her link. Or you can go to Brandon's Real Talk Live via Instagram, which is at BeRealTalkLive, and the Linktree link will direct you to her professional resume writing service link. So you can take advantage of that. Other than that, that's all I have. Make sure to catch us next time, which will be June 20th, between the times 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. And as always, we look forward to expressing the real. Peace.